magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, August 21st, 2015. And before, a couple quick announcements and some giveaways, just to whet your appetite, Great News Radio listener. This is a little sneak preview of today's edition of Mark and Friends, as we'll be in chapter 19 of Acts, reading from the end of the first verse. I just like this portion, Jason. Then he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" Oh, there's going to be some good conversation on today's edition of Mark and Friends, so stay with us. But first, I want to point out, tomorrow, there's a gospel sing in Cisna Park, kind of on the east end of town. It's at the Wilkening Farmstead, 354 North 1300 East Road, and it's going to benefit vulnerable children. It's being hosted by Loving Shepherd Ministries, and you can find out more about this ministry, loving-shepherd.org, loving-shepherd.org. And I think, Jason, it was you and I, last year at some point, maybe in the fall or something, that we had Gabriel Walder in the studio. And I think, wasn't his wife Jacob's second grade teacher? Okay, yeah. So we talked about Loving Shepherd Ministries and the unique work that they're doing throughout the world. Well, they're raising the awareness of the needs of children around the world. And through this gospel sing, there's going to be three different groups. The Browns are one of them. And if you were tuned in Tuesday for the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, you heard my interview with Shelley. So they'll be coming to town and putting on a gospel sing from 5:45 to 8:45, but there's free dinner from 4:30 to 6 p.m. Now there's a free will offering, so free is free, but you know, it'd help if you could donate towards that meal. And
so once God convicts you, you'll pay.
Yes, we would hope so. But that's happening at the Wilkening Farmstead, and it's like a, I don't know what kind of building or facility, but people say it's really nice. It's air-conditioned, climate-controlled. There's nice seating, and so it will accommodate some hundreds of people. So we invite you to come out tomorrow night, August 22nd, to the Wilkening Farmstead. And if you need more information, you can call the station at 217-367-7777. And it has been the practice on Fridays. Can't say it's always been the practice, but I like to give something away. And we've been putting in this big envelope, Jason, anyone that's been a part of the 2020 challenge. So when somebody says, "I want to be a part of the 2020 challenge," I kind of get their notation or their envelope or maybe a comment card or something. And so today we're going to pull out three names because we have three resources. I've already pulled these out. And so why don't you match up that book with this person? And I don't know, they might have a comment or two inside. Sometimes they don't, but...
So this is Carol Clothier, and
I see she has a big, what is that, green crayon almost? Is that a marker?
Oh, that's a big green marker. Carol Clothier, and she's going to give monthly automatically. You can do that through Great News Radio. Mm-hmm. You can just have it deducted right out of the bank account. You know what we do? That's how we do our monthly giving to the church and to a number of organizations, because then you don't miss it. It just comes right off the top, which I think is what God says in his word you're supposed to do. It comes before anything else is done. So those checks get written. And so Carol Clothier, she's going to get Making Spiritual Progress, Building Your Life with Faith, Hope, and Love by Alan Rada. And Larry Osborne, whom I had lunch with twice now, says, "I believe the insights of this book will help you become more like Jesus." So that's got to be good if Larry said that, because he's a pretty integrous guy.
And then they're also going to get a free appetizer coupon to the Texas Roadhouse, and we're giving those or making those available to anyone who writes us during this month of August. So we appreciate the Texas Roadhouse, and that means that appetizer can be one of like five or six different choices: the cactus blossom, cheese fries, fried pickles, rattlesnake bites, or the tater skins. I always go with the tater skins. Okay, another person that's going to get a special gift that is a part of the 2020 challenge is Jerry and Brenda Farney from Mahomet. And they already are monthly givers, and they're including $20 more each and every month. And it looks like Brenda writes, "Thanks, and may the Lord provide the wisdom, resources, and manpower for all that is needed to keep the station reaching out with the good news of Jesus." Signed, Brenda and Jerry. Thanks, guys, for your ongoing support. And they're going to get a copy of Connecting with Muslims, A Guide to Communicating Effectively by Fahd Masri, author of Ambassadors to Muslims, forward by Josh McDowell. And I think you've heard of Fahd Masri. I don't know if you've met up with him, but a very effective communicator. And some years ago, he's visited Twin City Bible Church and put on different workshops and seminars. And he's a great guy. This is an Ivy Press book. And in fact, I think Jerry and Brenda, I saw them at a table. They were at the Conversation Matters yep. class this past Sunday. So,
yep. And then finally, we have a copy of Renaissance, The Power of the Gospel, However Dark the Times by Oz Guinness. And this is for Beverly Hilmer. And Beverly wrote, she said, I felt the tug to take the 2020 challenge, but with income down, I was very hesitant. Then I received an unexpected, we did some air quotes, unexpected gift, so I'm jumping in. She says, here's the $200, and I hope to pick back up monthly in September with the remaining 2020. So, you know, when you pray and you ask God to create a way, especially when it's generosity, I believe this with all my heart. It's happened to our family a number of times when we've said, God, we want to be more generous. We want to give more here. How's it going to work? God is always faithful. We talked about, you know, in terms of sharing the gospel on Wednesday's program, God is faithful to answer those prayers. When you say, God, I want to give more of myself, whether it's financially or service-wise or whatever, into the world, God is faithful to open up those opportunities and doors because God wants you to be more generous. He wants you to be more faithful. He wants you to make a bigger impact. Jesus said, you'll do greater things than me. And why is that? Because Jesus only had two hands and two legs, and he could only go so far geographically. And those of us, I mean, multiplied out with that same Holy Spirit that was with Jesus, I mean, we're powered to do amazing things. And so pray that prayer. If you're on the fence like Beverly was, and you're saying, I just don't know, I feel the tug, but I don't know how that's going to go, before you look at your bank book and before you try and decide with your budget, take it to the Lord in prayer and ask him what he might do, because there may be, air quotes, an unexpected something that's going to come your way that's going to make it possible for you to be more generous, to be more giving, to be more loving, to be all the things that God wants you to be.
Hey, how about praying up our program as we're going to dig into chapter 19 of the book of Acts and see how generous God is at giving us the Holy Spirit.
Father, we thank you for the gifts that you've given us in the Holy Spirit, that in Acts chapter 2, that you just release that Spirit upon the people, that those faithful followers gathered in the upper room, that you did exactly what you promised. You said to them, wait, and the gift of the Holy Spirit is coming. And you release that Spirit upon them. And in that moment, that Peter, being unlike any other Peter we've seen before, rose up and gave this sermon where 3,000 people came to faith. And he spoke love and truth and promise and hope and all those things wrapped up in you. So, Father, whenever we talk about the Holy Spirit, whenever we talk about that, let us realize that the Holy Spirit has been given to us as a gift to lead us and to guide us towards you, and then to push us out into the world for you. And so we pray these things in your mighty name. Amen.
To you and for you.
Like that, didn't you?
I like that.
Like that. Like that. You'll be stealing that later on in the week, won't you?
Plagiarize it right now.
As it so happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, as it so happened, so this is not happenstance, this is providence. As it so happened, the Bible says that for us as like a little joke. It's saying, look at, this happened because of the will of God, the plan of God, for the promises and purposes of God. As it happened that while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples, and he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. You know what? This is just, we could even just stop right here, because this is just so fascinating, because, you know, that is the problem. We interviewed John MacArthur, now what is it? It's got to be at least 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago that we interviewed him, and I remember we said, John, what's the biggest thing that the church is struggling with? And we kind of chuckled and thought, he's going to say all kinds of things, because the church does have a lot of warts and bumps and you know. And he said, the church has a Holy Spirit problem. The church doesn't want to acknowledge who he is. And it was funny, at a recent men's breakfast, we talked about this. Wouldn't it be just the plan of Satan to get the people of God to become indifferent and unplug from the power source? To unplug from the very power they have. Remember, what does Paul say? Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4, I didn't come with wise and persuasive words, but with demonstration of the power of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 10 tells us that we don't fight with the weapons of this world, but that the Holy Spirit demolishes strongholds. He demolishes every pretense that raises up against the knowledge of God. The Holy Spirit can do immeasurably more than we know or imagine. We've joked many times that the word used for the Holy Spirit is dynamos, which is the word we use for dynamite. And so the Holy Spirit has explosive power. And so wouldn't it just be like Satan to get us to become fearful or to become indifferent, and we would unplug from the very power source? So we're like these super fast sports cars, but we've unplugged from the battery that powers the very systems that we have, the very things that we have. And here Paul says to these guys, he says, have you believed? Well, yeah, we believed in Jesus, but have you heard about the Holy Spirit? And they're like, who's that? And, you know, that is really something that's happening in a lot of churches. You know, prior to coming to minister in Mahomet at Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, I served as kind of a hometown missionary and went to a lot of different, 65 different churches in roughly a year and a half, and of all different denominations, Presbyterian and Lutheran. And, you know, I had somebody not too long ago who said, yeah, but you don't understand Presbyterians. I said, I actually do understand Presbyterians. I helped them find a pastor, and I understand who Presbyterians are, and I understand Lutherans and Methodists. I've got some Methodist ministers in our family. I understand Catholics. I understand because I went to those. Now, they never let me preach in a Catholic church. I don't know why. But you know, I went there and talked, and I led. In fact, I led, I think it was a little a men's group at a Catholic church for a little bit, three or four times. But went to all these different churches, and what I learned was this: when you went to a more fundamentalist church, you went to. And by the way, when I say fundamentalist, I mean those kinds of fundamentalists who are no fun to be around, mm-hmm. because they take everything so seriously. You know, potted plants and only wear tie shoes. You know, you would go there, and it was interesting. You would hear them pray. And you could tell a lot about somebody when they pray, and all you would hear was God, God, the Father, God, the Father, God, the Father. They would pray to that member of the Trinity, and you would very rarely hear anything about the Holy Spirit. And that's because those people, the fundamentalist persuasion, were so absolutely scared to death that they would become charismatic if they mentioned the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit has been co-opted by, if we're just really honest, some very bad and damaging places in the charismatic movement where the Holy Spirit has been used in ways that is counter to what Scripture says. And so when we, and right away, if we're just honest as human beings, what happens is when we think of something, we don't go to the kind of marginal point, we go to the extreme one. So when somebody says charismatic, I immediately go to kind of the extreme charismatic. Mm-hmm. When somebody says fundamentalist, I go to those memories or those pictures or people or things that I know I access right away of like the extreme fundamentalist. And so you've got a group of people over here who are so scared to mention the Holy Spirit for fear that they'll become charismatic. And you've got some people over here who are so fearful that if they begin to pray to God the Father and they begin to do that, that they're going to lose the Holy Spirit and lose that charismania that they have. And so we have this today where you can go into churches and you don't hear anything about the Holy Spirit. You don't hear anything about how he leads us and guides us. You don't look at Jesus said the Holy Spirit when he spoke to his disciples was going to be a gift. He was going to be a counselor. He was going to be one whom they needed.
Yeah,
a
comforter that would come along.
Yeah, in fact,
them.
In Acts chapter 1, doesn't he tell them? He said, they say, what do you want us to do? What do you want us to do? And Jesus says, you wait, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. He tells them, you wait. And then you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and then you're going to be able to go and become my witnesses in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. But you're going to need the power of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes I really do believe that as a church, now this doesn't diminish teaching, because I think teaching the Bible is so important. Paul told Timothy to guard your doctrine and your teaching. And Paul told Timothy, I know whom I have believed upon. And he knew that because he read the Bible. He knew who Jesus was, and then he taught the Bible. So teaching is so important. But we need to acknowledge the Holy Spirit. We need to acknowledge his power and his personhood. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's one of the persons of the Trinity. And what's the definition of the Trinity? Well, the Trinity is distinct in personality, equal in power, and then distinct in duties. So the Holy Spirit has duties that Jesus doesn't do and God the Father doesn't do, but they're equal in power because they're one, but they're distinct in their personalities. You know, the Father serves the Spirit serves the Son serves the Father. That was the operating kind of instructions for when Jesus walked on the earth, wasn't it? If you read the Gospels, God the Father through the Holy Spirit led and guided. Luke 4:14, Jesus, after being tempted in the wilderness, went into the Galilee, what? In the power of the Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is so absolutely important to us as Christians, and we should and we ought to talk to the Spirit. We ought to ask the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us, to comfort us and to keep us. We ought to ask the Holy Spirit to do that. And I think we suffer with the same problems that these believers suffered then, when somebody says, "What about the Holy Spirit?" And they say, "What are you talking about? Who's that? We haven't really heard about that. We haven't really heard about that." And yet Paul, as we talked about last week when we talked about Acts, Paul didn't choose to come with any wise words of his own. The persuasion was done purely by the power of the Spirit. And so they said, "No, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And he said, "Then how were you baptized?" And they said, "Well, into John's baptism." And Paul said, "John baptized with a baptism of repentance." So he starts walking them through it. He goes, "Okay, you guys repented. That's excellent." And he says, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus. Upon hearing this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. So he says, look, you guys are on the path. You have started. Now let me just complete the work that has begun. Now think about, what does Paul say in Philippians chapter 1? He who began a good work on you will carry it on to completion. Paul understood that verse when he wrote it to the church in Philippi because he lived it. He saw God's work being rolled out like a carpet, being carried into completion. And here, just completion in this time, but then Paul is certain about eternal completion too, that the culmination of all things, God is going to return and heaven and earth are going to come back together, and the Spirit and the bride will say, "Come." But here he says, upon hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began to speak in tongues and to prophesy. Now, I don't want to comment on the prophecy, and I don't want to comment on the tongues, because that's for a whole other conversation and a whole other day. But what I really want to comment on is that the belief in Jesus Christ and the coming of the Holy Spirit happened in the exact same moment. The Holy Spirit is not some later addition to your spirituality. There are way too many places in the Bible we can go to that will tell us that this happens, that when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Spirit enters into you and does the work. It's only possible that Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, it's a free gift of God that no man might boast, and that gift is delivered by the Holy Spirit. So when you're in church and you got saved, you're sitting in your seat and you got say you heard the altar call and you go, "That's me, I want to go up there." Realize that you didn't get saved because you went up there. You got saved in that seat before you ever even got up.
And was it in fact like the Holy Spirit that was prodding your mind to bring about that conviction that you can't even say, "I made the decision," because I think God in some senses made the decision for you? I mean, isn't that mystery?
It really is. It's not a mystery, but it's really hard for us to understand. I think we didn't have any more time, but I was almost going to throw it out there. At the end of our Wednesday program, you said you spoke to the seeker. And I absolutely hate that comment. I absolutely hate that because I don't believe that – because seeker makes it seem as though I have some control over this.
Yeah.
We're not seekers. We're sought after. Yeah. And so God is seeking us. He's searching for – he's not even searching. He knows where we're at. We're sought after. God wants us. He desires us. That's why the Bible says that God is a jealous God. Not as jealousy as we would count jealousy as pettiness, but God wants what rightly belongs to him, and that's you. Sin has separated you from God, and God wants you back because he loves you. He sent his son Jesus to the cross to die for you. God didn't need to make some grand statement. He made all of creation. God sent his son to die on the cross for you. For you. For God so loved the world, you, because you're in the world, that he sent his son Jesus to die for you. And I love how Romans 5 says, and while we were still sinners, while you were still horrible and wretched and devious and evil and wicked, God said, "I am so for you, I'm going to send my son Jesus to die for you." And so Paul here sees this work coming out, this fruition of this work. They believe in Jesus and the Holy Spirit comes upon them and they become new creations. And it says, there were 12 men in all. Now, that's an interesting number. Why was there 12 men? Because in those days, that's enough to start a church.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not only this amazing work of God here where God has revealed himself, Galatians chapter 1, pleased to reveal himself, joyful to reveal himself to these men here, but this is the birth of a church. This is the birth of a church, and the birth of this church happens when one faithful man steps up and walks forward and says, "Whom do you believe upon?" And then gently makes a correction, because here they go, well, John, we believe in John. We baptized in John. We repented in John. And Paul goes, gosh, there's so much more I have to tell you about. And he lays his hands upon them, and they receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they're baptized, and the Holy Spirit falls upon them, and they begin to see the world in whole different new eyes. And the first thing that these men do is start a church. You know, this is because they desire to gather together. They desire to read God's word together. They desire to sing and to worship together. They desire to be together, because you know what? Once you believe, you realize that the arm needs to be connected to the body. You realize that the hand is so much more useful when it's connected to the arm, that the feet are so much better when they're part of the body. You know, Paul uses that analogy. God uses that analogy in his word when he says, Christ is the head and you're the body. And suddenly you go, wait a second, I'm a finger. I didn't even know I was a finger. I thought I was just an idiot. I thought I was just lost. And I'm a finger. I'm a part of this greater body. And you realize that you were made for more than you ever even knew. And suddenly your life matters in a way that you can't even fathom. It's a mystery, as Mark said. So what do these men do? They start a church. So not only do we see men who are saved for the sake of the gospel to the praise of Christ's glorious name, but here we see a church begin.
And they can begin the church because they're now empowered by the Holy Spirit.
Totally. I was reading some passages about the Holy Spirit, and it's fascinating. When you read John chapter, I believe it's 3, Nicodemus, he comes by night to Jesus. And really, the idea of him coming at night means that he's in the dark. There's a few things he doesn't know about. And so he comes at night, and he asks Jesus about the nature of the Spirit. And Jesus says, well, it's like the wind. It blows wherever it pleases. You can hear it coming, but you don't know where it's at exactly. And that analogy is so powerful, because when you read way back when David was anointed king, Samuel came upon him and he poured the oil from the horn. And what does it say? Well, my ESV says this, and the Spirit rushed upon him. It's the same word that's used in Acts when the disciples are baptized by the Holy Spirit. It's a strong, rushing wind. That this is the power of the Holy Spirit. And I was, a number of years ago, as I'll close out, I was dating my wife, and she moved down to Florida, and I moved down there with her, and I just was in head over heels in love with this girl. I wasn't going to let her get away. And I was down in Florida not too long, and there was a hurricane. And I'd never been in a hurricane. I'm from the Midwest. We have tornadoes. We don't have hurricanes. So I wasn't quite sure what was happening, but they evacuated us from our apartment. My wife was in the Navy, so she had to go to where the Navy people go, but I had to go to a school. And I remember I had a blanket, and I had a pillow, and I had some granola bars. And I'm laying on the floor. There was hundreds of us in the hallway in the school. And it's the middle of the night. There's no power. It's black. It's pitch black. And I hear this sound, and it sounds like a freight train is running over the top of us. And I just heard this sound, and I just closed my eyes. And I was not a believer then. I'm just going to tell you that right now. I was not a believer. But I just closed my eyes, and whatever I knew to do from childhood, I prayed, and I laid there, and I'm like, oh, God, like I'm going to die, I think. And there's just a sound like a train was rushing over us. And then I woke up hours later, and I could see heaven because there was no roof on the building anymore. And ever since then, when I think about the Holy Spirit, I think about that moment, that the way that wind rushed over, and the next thing we knew, we saw heaven. And we saw a literal heaven. We saw the sky, and it was sunny out, and it was nothing like it was hours before. It was absolutely different. And I think about that's how the Holy Spirit comes over like this freight train, this mighty rushing wind, and your life is never the same afterwards.
Dear listener, today could be that day for you to find that personal relationship with Almighty God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are some great people that would love to talk with you about achieving that relationship, that friendship, that everlasting eternity with God the Father, where there's no pain or suffering or heartache or loss. And then, as you would come to know Christ, maybe even this day, the Holy Spirit will guide you through and equip you to understand God's word and walk faithfully and be empowered, and then to share that good news message with your friends and family members. If you dial 1-888-NEED-HIM, that's 1-888-NEED-HIM. It's a free call, and these people will love to talk to you about answering any questions about the Christian faith, or knowing how to have a relationship with God. And better yet, find a local Bible-believing church this Sunday, attend services, and stay around afterwards and ask the pastor, hey, I want to know more about Jesus. I'm telling you, his face will light up. I pray his face will light up. He'll be excited, especially if you're desiring to know more about God, because they've been called and equipped by God to be able to lead people into that relationship. And that would be hopefully true of all of our listeners today, that you could maybe take someone along on your faith journey and point towards Almighty God. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.